Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
Please find 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And as you locate 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it would also be important for you to find this piece of paper entitled, Use Your Gifts for God's Goals. This is an extremely important set of instructions, and I hope you will be fully engaged in these moments. And let me tell you why. I have been seriously connected to the Lord and His kingdom's work for over 40 years. And over those 40 years, I have observed many anemic, unhappy, and unproductive people who claim to be followers of Christ. Yet as I've observed, many of these people seem to be passive and not participating in God's work. They seem to be apathetic and not active. They seem to be watching but not working. They seem to be sitting and soaking and souring but not serving the purpose of God. And what is the result? The result is simply people who don't have joy. They don't have fulfillment. They are not experiencing the significance that God has designed for them. And consequently, the body of Christ is limited and even crippled. Well, here's the solution. The solution is so simple. You see, I've discovered that your Christian life will explode into joy when you understand that God has given you gifts and designed you to serve His purpose of being transformed into the image of Christ, His purpose of extending His kingdom from our neighborhoods to the nations. And when you get that, when you connect the dots, that's when your life begins to count. But let's synchronize, if you would make this note. Everyone loves receiving presents. Don't you like to receive a present? Doesn't it make your heart flutter a bit when somebody says, here, I have a present for you, and you unwrap that gift, and in that gift box you find something really useful like a pair of pliers. Now, that's my kind of gift. I gave this to Mary Ruth, and I don't think she fully appreciated it, but it's very handy to have a tool like this around the house so that you don't have to call your husband, ladies. You can just prepare it yourself, right? You see, the design of God is for you to receive the gifts that He's given us. He loves you, and He's given you gifts, and He wants you to unwrap those gifts and work for Him and serve His purpose. Would you look on your worksheet? And again, so we can harmonize our hearts with His heart, let's read out loud from 1 Peter 4:10. 1 Peter 4:10, would you read it with me? Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. I remember when I was 16 years old and I'd become very actively engaged with God's Word and God's people. Those are your two primary growth catalyst. God's Word will grow you inside. God's people will grow you to be encouraged and accountable. That's how it really works. God's Word, God's people, you need those two operative. So here I am at the First Baptist Church of Georgetown, Texas. I'm growing in the Lord, and I find out that there's this program called RAs, or Royal Ambassadors. It's meeting on Wednesday, and they can't find someone to serve. Have you ever heard of that in a church? That they can't find somebody to serve, maybe in the nursery or in a Sunday school class or as a greeter. They can't find somebody to serve and go out and tell other people about Jesus or be on mission. Can you feature that? Well, they couldn't find anybody at the First Baptist Church of Georgetown to serve in training people about missions. So I said, well, I can read the book. I've got a little time. I'm just 16, but I think I can help out. So that's when I cut out the first slice of the serving pie. And do you know what I discovered? It was delicious. When I started showing up, and instead of just taking, I started giving, it made me feel stronger. The Lord, it drew me closer to the Lord. And I decided when I was 16, it's now time for me to take off my bib and put on his apron of serving. It's now time for me to stop being a baby that's just in taking milk and go to work. And I became addicted to serving because I'm addicted to Jesus Christ and seeing him transform lives. And I want that same addiction to envelop you in this church. You see, here's my holy responsibility. I want to help you discover your spiritual giftedness, then develop it and deploy it into Christ-honoring, eternity-impacting service. Now, God has given you a gift. He has given you maybe a whole variety of gifts, and he is encouraging you to use those gifts, not as toys, but as tools to make an eternal difference. Well, let's now come together to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And in chapter 12, beginning in verse 7, let's pull the heart of the matter together about giftedness. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the effecting of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. For even as the body is one, yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is the body of Christ. Would you pray with me? Oh, gracious Father, I pray that you would infuse these moments of worship and instruction with the heavy presence of your Spirit. Lord, please remove all distractions. May we fully focus upon your living word so that we could move beyond this artificial, passive version of Christianity and become your active, participating servants. Lord, get me out of the way, and through the power of your Spirit, take your living word and apply it to the receptive hearts of your children. And I ask for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's begin here. Would you please make this note? Let's begin here with a panoramic photograph of spiritual gifts. And number one is the distinction of the gifts, the distinctions of the gifts. I want to do some clarification. There's so much misinformation about spiritual gifts. It reminds me of the young Texas Aggie before they became part of the SEC. That Texas Aggie, he thought when he saw a Taco Bell that it was a branch of the Mexican phone company. And of course, that's incorrect. But there's a lot of misinformation about spiritual giftedness. And that misinformation, it includes this misunderstanding about what giftedness is. I mean, I've talked to people, and their definition of being spiritually gifted is speaking in tongues. I've had people tell me on many occasions, if you cannot speak in tongues, you do not have the gift of the Holy Spirit. I said, I can speak Spanish. Does that count? No, they said, that does not count. Now, friends, let me dial you into the truth of God. You see, there's a distinction about the gifts of the Spirit. Let's begin here. The gift of the Holy Spirit is delineated in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Look, please, on your worksheet. Peter is preaching at Pentecost. Jesus has gone up. The disciples went out, and the Spirit comes down. Watch this. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now, when you are converted, when you become a follower of Jesus Christ, what happens? You are forgiven of your sin. Your sin slate is wiped clean. You are made a child of God. You are part of God's family now and forever. And the Bible says you received the ultimate gift. That's the gift of the presence of Jesus Christ, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of God's Spirit coming and dwelling with you. It's also called the Holy Ghost. All of these are synonyms. Please don't be confused. But an authentic born-again Christian now has in your spirit the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And what does that Spirit do? That Spirit gives you power. The Scripture tells us in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that they are to go to Jerusalem and they are to wait until the Holy Spirit comes into their life at Pentecost. And then that Spirit will give them power. Power to do what? Power to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. You see, the presence of Jesus is your power source, but the presence of Jesus also produces spiritual fruit. Also look to your outline. But the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You see, we learn in John 15, verse 5, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branch. He who abides in me and I in him, you will produce what? Much fruit. You will produce much fruit. Now, where there's a root, you will have fruit, but where there is no root, there's no fruit. And Jesus also tells us that we can look at a person's life, and if there is no fruit growing there, if there is, instead of love, there is hate. Instead of joy, there is resentment, sourness, bitterness. Instead of peace, there is restlessness and rancor. If you see all the opposites, then it makes you legitimately question, is that person connected? Is there a root there? Jesus said in Matthew 7, you will know them by their fruits. So don't fool yourself. If there's no root, there's no fruit. But when you are truly filled with the Spirit of Jesus, he then produces and reproduces the fruit of his personality. Think about it. Who was perfect in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? Jesus was perfect in those characters, those characteristics. Those were elements of his character. And if you don't have that fruit growing in your character, then you need to check the connection. Make sure you've got a root in Christ, that you've truly given your life to him. No roots, no fruit. Does that make sense? Are you with me? Well, let's take it one step further. You see, the gift of the Spirit comes at its salvation. And then the life of Jesus at work in you begins to carve your character into the image of Christ, and you reproduce his personality. And then lastly, you replicate his ministry. And you replicate his ministry using the gifts that he gives you when you are born again. When you are born again, you get a birthday present. And that birthday present is a special spiritual endowment designed to reproduce the ministry of Jesus. That's what Peter said in 1 Peter 4:10. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Therefore, each person here who is connected to Jesus possesses a spiritual gift. Now, with that distinction clarified, let's go to the definition. Number two, the definition of gifts. And I'm going to give you a very simplified one. Now, I can give you a much more complex definition, but the older I get, the less I want to be obtuse and muddy, the more I'm striving for clarity. And let me give you this simple definition of a spiritual gift. It is a special endowment from God to enable his children to serve his purposes by helping his work. Let me give you an analogy that maybe we can connect to here in the state of Alabama. There's a new license plate that basically says Alabama has been the national football champion for the last 4 years in a row. Have y'all heard about it? Alabama won the national championship again this week. I bet you heard about it. It was pretty big in the news. Well, imagine this. Imagine that the game last week, instead of being a blowout, I think 42-14, instead of being a blowout, imagine that it was a tight game. And imagine that Notre Dame was really a competitive SEC team like Georgia. I mean, just imagine that. Did you know I heard that the Pope was so upset with the team that he suggested they become Lutherans? I don't know if that's true, but I just heard that. Well, anyway, 28-0 at halftime, 35-0. It was quite a blowout. But imagine that it was 35-35, and there's 2 seconds left on the clock. And there's a field goal kicker who happens to be you. And you have this natural giftedness of coordination, but you have worked on it. And you have become extremely proficient in timing to kick that ball. And imagine, there's 2 seconds left on the clock, and you have the opportunity to trot out on the field and to make a 40-yard field goal that wins the national championship. Now, here you go. You get out there, you line it up, you try to calm your heart, you do some deep breathing, you try to focus on the football, and when they snap it, you pop it through, and it splits the uprights. The game clock runs out, and you win. Can you imagine? That is you who has taken all of your ability, all of your practice, all of your giftedness, and you won the victory for your team. Would your heart experience just a flutter of joy? Would you feel significant and fulfilled as they carried you off the field on your teammates' shoulders? I bet you would. Did you know that's the design of God? The design of God is not for you to sit comfortably up in the stadium bleachers. The design of God is for you to use your giftedness. Come out onto the playing field. Suit up. Take up your tools, which are not toys for narcissistic spiritual indulgence, but they are tools for doing the work of God and gaining spiritual victories that will last for eternity. Can you beat a deal like that? You can't, really. And that's what God is calling us to understand. You see, every member of this church, every member of the body of Christ is designed to be a minister and experience the joy of spiritual victory. And if you're not experiencing the joy of spiritual victory, you're cheating yourself. You see, that's why it's not adequate to be passive. You've got to become an active, serving participant in God's work. That's the special feature of this church. We call people into avenues of serving, from the neighborhoods to the nurseries to the nations, to make a difference. I was talking just a few days ago to Ken Dice. And Ken and LaVondra Dice are truly servants to the body of Christ. Did you know, for about the last 7 or 8 years, every Friday, Ken Dice, who was a teacher for 35 years at Montgomery Academy, an amazing educator, in his retirement, he is now using almost all of his time to serve the Lord. But every Friday, he shows up at the jail across the street, and it is a captive audience. And he walks into that jail, and he takes the Bible, and he teaches these friends about the Lord. I said, Ken, I saw him Friday. I said, how'd it go? He said, oh, Jay, there were 20 there, and one young man opened his heart to Jesus Christ. He gave his life to the Lord, and I was there when he was birthed into the kingdom. And you should have seen the glow on his face. Would he have had that if he chose to just sit home and read the paper or just do something that makes no difference? Of course not. I'm here to tell you that you are designed not to be passive, but to participate, not to spectate, but to come down on the playing field, suit up, and experience the joy and fulfillment of winning the victory with the Lord. Let's go to number three. Let's move from definition to distribution, distribution of the gifts. We learn in Ephesians chapter 4, this is such an important truth. He gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Why? To prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Let me create another sports analogy for you. I see God as our head coach, and he distributes to different people as he chooses different gifts to build his team, his body. Now, you may protest, and I've heard many people say this when I've invited them to serve, oh, I am giftless. I have no special talents or abilities. I live in no talentville. And I've seen many people kind of dig their toes in the dirt and Oh, I couldn't even lead in silent prayer, they protest. I can't even hand out the golf pencils at Sunday school. I personally, privately, don't buy that. As a matter of fact, I want to publicly tell you that you're believing a lie if you think you have no gifts and talents, because the Bible already tells us that if you've received the Lord, you've received the gift of His Spirit and consequently a spiritual endowment to serve His purpose. So to say you have no gifts and abilities and you refuse to serve, you are essentially insulting the Lord Himself. And you are AWOL. Do you know what that is? In the military, AWOL is absent without leave. God is calling you to serve Him. And if you refuse to obey your commanding officer, if you refuse to coach, friends, you're on thin ice. So I'm here to tell you, God has given you a spiritual gift, and I want to inject your self-esteem with a massive spiritual boost. You are a gifted child, and you have been designed with a spiritual destiny to serve God's purpose. And if you will receive this truth, then you can go to work and you can build a kingdom. Let me give you something you need to write on your outline. Now, I've done extensive teaching on spiritual giftedness over the years, and many of you have heard that, and many of you are living it out. I give you an A+. But if you go to the MontgomeryFBC.org website, at MontgomeryFBC.org, we have this huge, fabulous website, and there's an enormous section called the Christ-like Institute. Super easy to find on the front page. Just click on it. And at the bottom of the Christ-like Institute teachings, there's a whole section on spiritual gifts with a spiritual gift inventory. There are 27 simple questions. And I can guarantee you, you can take it in 15 minutes, and it will give you a complete assessment on your spiritual giftedness and a way that you can serve. And then we even couple that with opportunities. We have literally almost 150 opportunities for you to serve, and it all meshes together. Now, I'm not going to break my heart and ask how many of you have taken that test, because I want to try to preserve my self-esteem today, but I'm going to ask that you go there. Get on that website. Take that survey. Fill out that opportunity to serve and realize that you are a gifted child and you can make a difference. Let's go to the diversity of gifts. The diversity of gifts. I've already read from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, but you can also read in Romans 12 and then in Ephesians. And you will find different gift lists. As a matter of fact, the Corinthians gift list has 9 gifts identified. Another and a different 7 in Romans. Ephesians 4 has 5 gifts, so that's a total of 21. And it tells me, because these gift lists are different, that they are not exhaustive. Of course they are not. They're different. So by definition, they couldn't be exhaustive. We don't include the gift of music, but I think some people have a spiritual gift of musicality. Some people have a gift of hospitality and childcare and computers and cooking. There's a bunch of gifts. And here's my point. You see, a spiritual gift is indeed a special endowment, but it's oftentimes linked to your natural ability and proclivity to do work. Now, I want you to imagine this. You see, there's a diversity of gifts. That's the whole point. There's a lot of different type of gifts. And everybody has at least one, but nobody has all of them, so we need each other. We need each other in the team. Let me use another sports analogy. Imagine a track team. And imagine the pole vaulter is not given a pole, but instead he's given the 12-pound shot put. And this little skinny guy that's designed to fly through the air is now supposed to take this shot put and hurl it. Well, that doesn't work, because he's not gifted for throwing the shot put. And let's imagine the shot putter is called to run the 1,500 meters because the coach went wacky. Well, that wouldn't be a very good result, would it? Of course not. You see, there is a diversity of gifts, but there's unity in that diversity because the team operates within its giftedness. The ultimate example in 1 Corinthians 12 is our physical body. And Paul even says the body operates in harmony according to its giftedness. Now, please stay with me. You have a spiritual gift, and you need to operate within your giftedness. You know, I'll give you an obvious example. I am not a musician. I couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. I can barely play the radio. I mean, I am not gifted musically. When I was a teenager, I was in a youth choir, and I wanted to sing a solo because all the cool kids sang a solo. And then our minister of music pulled me aside, and he said, "I know you think that's your gift, but I don't have the gift to listen to you. I mean, let's just be honest. And so I don't want to operate out of my giftedness because that would be unhelpful. And I don't want you to operate out of your giftedness because that won't build a body. It might even set things back. So find what your giftedness is and realize that there's unity in a diversity of gifts. And we, especially at this church, we operate as a unified, coordinated body, listening to Jesus, who is the leader and the head, and we get his work done. Now, lastly, please make this note, the deployment of gifts. This is everything, the deployment of the gifts. You see, God wants you to use your gifts to do his work. How does it fit together? You discover, you develop, and you deploy these gifts as we follow the example of Jesus. And the ultimate statement about Christ's service is found in Mark 10:45 on your worksheet. "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." It was Albert Schweitzer, and I've been fascinated with him for years, who had a PhD in mathematics and in music. He was a medical doctor, and he also had a doctorate in theology. This amazingly brilliant man who spent his life in Africa ministering in the name of Jesus said, "The only ones among us who will truly be happy are those who have sought and learned how to serve." You see, that is the call of God. He wants you to deploy your gifts. As it says in James 1:22, "Do not merely listen to the word and deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Talk is cheap." Hear God's call to be the real deal, to walk the talk, to serve the Savior. And let me give you the bonus. The bonus is found in Matthew 25. There Jesus tells a story about the gifts or the talents that we have received. And the bottom line is that we will give an accounting to him on how we used or misused our giftedness. I don't know about you, but my greatest goal on planet Earth and in eternity is to hear Jesus say, "Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. You took what I gave you, Jay, and you went to work." Now, let me tell you a nightmare. When I was growing up, I wasn't much of an athlete, but I tried to play football in eighth grade, and I was second, third string, warmed the bench. And I remember a couple of times I came home from the games, and I didn't want my mom, who had cleaned my uniform, to know that I hadn't done anything, this is pathetic. But I got down on the dirt, and I rolled around just to make it look like I'd done something. I mean, isn't that sad? Now, here's the point. I don't want to stand before King Jesus and see the scars in his hands and have a clean uniform on, and you don't either. You don't want a clean uniform on because you did nothing. You were AWOL. You refused his command to be his serving witness in this lost, dark, and dying world. You don't want to stand before the Lord and see his scars and have a clean uniform on because you did nothing more than passively spectate instead of actively participate. May I suggest to you that you should write down right now the main point. Let's move from information to action. Let's move from information to action. What does God want us to do? He wants us to be the body of Christ in this broken world. A couple of years ago, I took Mary Austin, Alex, and Mary Ruth, and we went with Gil McKenzie and Brian Gay, our missions minister, to Malawi. And we saw this beautiful display of what the body of Christ should be in this unique setting. Remember, we are called to go to the neighborhoods, to the nations, everywhere. No one's left out. That's the whole point. It's not either or, it's both and. And over in Malawi, we saw how the body and the various gifts in the body can all function together as a coordinated whole. Gil McKenzie is a medical administrator. He pulled the group together. Brian Gay has phenomenal mission understanding and then administrative skills. Steve Rutledge is a key person at Alpha. He's very gifted administratively. And so they kind of led the team, and we got over there, and Dr. Mark Anderson and Chris and other medical people, they got there, and they started doing these clinics along with Alan and Brenda Newton. The Newmans, Mike and Pam, they did the pharmacies. And because we were working with pastors in Malawi, I'm telling you, not hundreds, but thousands of people came to our clinics and our medical team alleviated suffering. But physical suffering is going to resume after we leave. But these people were suffering more spiritually because they were eternally disconnected from the Lord. So we used Mary Ruth and Donna Conte and other people to connect to the children. And then we had relational evangelists, people like me who were going around and sharing Christ and teaming with these pastors in the 10 areas. We showed the Jesus film because Nate Conte and Matt Tanner, they had some technical skills that we used. And once we presented the gospel, did you know we had 2,207 people make professions of faith? Why? Because the body functioned as it was designed to function. And my friend, you don't have to go to Malawi. You can stay right here in Montgomery and use your gifts to make an eternal difference. Let's do it together. Let's pray. Father, help us. Help us embrace the giftedness that you have created for us and designed us to use for your glory and our fulfilling good. Lord, I pray that right now we would promise to unwrap your gifts and move from being a passive spectator to a passionate, eternal difference-making participator. And I pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.